Well, I appreciated Mr. Courtney's sermonette. As you'll see, it'll dovetail very nicely with the sermon today. I did, and on Ken, in some ways kind of understand and about the long services, maybe the 2 or 3 hour, 4 hour sermons, because as a young Amish man, Amish boy, we experienced some of that. Services usually started about 9 o'clock in the morning, ended sometime after 12, but I never got hit in the back of the head. So I appreciated that. And we had clocks. I'll tell you a little story about that. We had clocks, or my dad, usually in the Amish meet in homes, I think most of them still do, some don't, but they're New Order Amish, but they meet in homes, or in the summer, they meet in barns. And since our home wasn't really, you know, sufficiently large for a winter service, we had summer services. So in the summertime, we would host a service in our barn. And so my dad would put this little alarm clock up into this hay mow so that the speaking elders or the ministers could see it. So my brother decided he was going to play a trick, and he set the alarm. He set it for noon, and he wasn't finished. So it went off, and my poor dad had to get up and turn the alarm off, so in front of everybody. So, but we did have benches, and the boys sat on a bench together. And when you're about 12 or 13 years old, you get to leave the nest of your dad. You know, the women sat on one side, the men on the other side. And so us boys, we sat with dad, the girls sat with mom. And so when you're about 12 or 13 years old, you get to sit with the boys. And, you know, sometimes, you know, that gets a little rambunctious too. And I could tell you a story about that regarding myself, but I won't tell you because it's self-implicating. But brethren, there's an awful lot to complain about these days. You know, I appreciated Mr. Courtney's sermon that every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day. I thought I wrote that on the back of my notes here because I thought that was an expression that I might want to remember. That's a good expression, because there's an awful lot to complain about. There, some of it, many times, you know, might be legitimately so. There are a number of things that we could complain about. We live in a 24-hour news cycle where the same one or two or three stories are rehearsed. I have in my notes 24 times, but oftentimes it's several times in an hour, and maybe more than that, you know, so that those stories that many times are presented negatively are rehearsed over and over, and pundits, different one this half hour than that half hour, and of course we have the internet, which has a lot of material on it, and social media. You know, there's an awful lot of bad news to complain about. Maybe in our lives there are some trials and things that go on that we can complain about. Do we spend enough time reflecting on the good things in our life? We spend enough, that's a question I'll ask us. Again, there are plenty of negative things to reflect on, and I don't mean to minimize those. Mr. Johnson, of course, last Sabbath gave us a sermon on trials, talked about that and trials. And we do have trials in our lives and things that we go through, and I don't want to minimize those things. Those things are real in our lives, aren't they? We have illnesses, we get sick, we have things that cause us discomfort, and we're all getting a little older, some, you know, most of us are, certainly, you know, I feel that, the aches and pains sometimes that, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago were not aches and pains, kind of hang on these days, and so, you know, the events in the world and in our own lives, in our country, are real, and they affect us. Don't they? The virus. You know, some of us, I know now several people, you know, one person that's had it three times and several that have had it twice. You know, inflation, gas prices, you know, violence in our communities we see on our TV screens. You know, a lot in that way to reflect on. But for today, for this weekend, I would like us to shift gears a little bit and reflect on what's positive in our lives, what's good in our lives. Reflect on what's positive. Let's think about those things a little bit, this of course being July 4th weekend, and it's a time of celebration. Some of you got the memo, some didn't, that it's Red, White, and Blue Day. But I'm kidding, of course. But it's a time of celebration for our nation and for our country. It's a good time for us to reflect on the good in our lives. The good in our lives. Because, as we heard in the sermonette, every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day. There's something good in every day. We'll talk about that. That'll fit in with a scripture that I have that we'll get to in a little bit. Let's turn first of all to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, as most of us know, that over the past several years, I've given several sermons on this subject in Romans chapter 12. We know that Romans chapter 12, we've talked about the fact that it's a very practical chapter. I've got to look at the clock back there, and I think it might be wrong. Let me see. It is. I better get my watch up here. This clock here is about, 45 minutes off or so. So I think I've got an extra 45 minutes today. But I'm just kidding. I'm not going to give a 4 or 5 hour sermon. I wouldn't expect that any of you would want to listen to me for that long. But anyway, I've been giving a series of messages on this very practical chapter of Romans chapter 12. That it has somewhere between 35 and 40 different things in it that we could, and we have, I think I've given 5 sermons. Some of them have been partial sermons like today's. We'll touch on a couple of these, but that have been sermons on other subject matters that I've been able to incorporate or include some of these things in. And it's been over several years, but there, it's amazing what you can draw out of this chapter in the Bible and how many specific instructions we have. And again, we're up to verse 12. We've already done parts of verse 12, but rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. We did those a few months ago in a sermon. We concentrated on those 2 or 4 words, actually, patient, tribulation, and rejoice in hope. And had a message on that. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. And then what I will term as letter W, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we didn't do a 1, 2, 3, we did an ABC on these items. and we're up to W in verse 12. W being continuing steadfastly in prayer. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now, I said we'd concentrate on the positive or on the good things in our life and make this a very positive sermon in that regard. But steadfastly in prayer is something that is very positive, isn't it? It certainly can be. Sometimes we steadfastly pray for others. We talked about the three people in the announcement period today that need our prayers. There are others, and for other reasons that we know about, and we keep praying steadfastly, continuing. You know, that word continuing meaning we are praying about that, aren't we? We are praying. You know, I know that that everybody here that read the message or the email about Mr. Guy has already prayed for him, I'm sure. And we continue to pray for him on a continuous basis. So it says continuing, verse 12, meaning that we're praying, we're continuing. This is a continuance. We pray about and for these things steadfastly, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Again, that's letter W if you're keeping track of those such things. We've got a couple more that we'll go over today in the message, but continuing steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, kind of an extension of this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you're probably ahead of me and know where I'm going with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, and we've read this often and we all know this scripture, I'm sure. It says, pray without ceasing. Pardon me. Pray without ceasing, meaning, you know, we're continually in a prayerful state of mind so that at any moment we can have a conversation with God. At any moment, when we put our head on the pillow, when we wake up in the morning, when we're going through our day, you know, at any moment, pray without ceasing, being that we're in a continual prayerful state of mind, that we can at any time through the day, we can have a conversation with God about whatever in our life and need to involve God and have a conversation with God in our lives. We need to do that and we need to have that. So at any point in time, we can have a conversation. And that conversation needs to include the good things in our life. The positive things in our life. Sometimes, you know, we go to God when we're forced to, maybe. We can do that. I know that I can do that. That something happens, you know, I smash my thumb with a hammer, and, you know, I go to God and ask Him to relieve that pain. That's very painful. Or many times we go to God when we have things, but we need to include the positive things and the good things in our life and remind God that we recognize what He does for us, the blessings that He provides us in that way, the good things that He gives us every day. Again, there's good in every day. So every day when He provides us with those good things, we also need to include God and have communication with God for those things, for the things that He does for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, often we read this and focus on something just a little bit on a different part of it. 1 Peter chapter 2. And is again a very positive thing that includes us. Very positive. It says, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, says, "But you are a chosen generation, royalty." Royalty. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. His own special people. Now, this is Peter, of course, writing this. I would say that as we reflect on our day, those are pretty positive things. You know, when you think about the fact that we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. But what I want to, and we often reflect on that and talk about that sometimes during the fall holy day season. But I want to focus on the next sentence for a moment and have us think about that, because it says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So Peter here said that we are to proclaim, the New Revised Standard Version says, that you may proclaim the mighty acts. The New American Standard says the excellencies, the mighty acts, the excellencies, that you may proclaim the praises, the mighty acts, the excellencies. We are to proclaim that to God, to him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a wonderful blessing that is. What a wonderful thing that is, that we are to proclaim, aren't we? That we are to proclaim. So we can proclaim these things. We can make a list of things, these mighty acts, these excellencies that we can proclaim. We can make that list, and you can answer that in your life. What are those things that you might proclaim in your life, these mighty acts, these excellencies that God has given you, called you out of? What a blessing it is that we can proclaim those things. And we'll go over just a few of those in a little bit. And we'll have, toward the end of the message, we'll have some specific points. We'll go over a few things to consider, but certainly by no means an extensive list, because you can have your own list of those things. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 118. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day may not be good, but there's something good in every day. We will be glad and rejoice in it. I try to reflect on that statement every day. That God made today. This is the day that the Lord has made. That God made today and gave it to us. He gave it to me and he gave it to you. Every day is a new day, And we can reflect on those things. So we need to reflect and think about the good things, the positive things in our life. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. The good things and the positive things in our lives. And especially as we go through and through this particular weekend, and as we go through this time of year, we need to reflect on and think about the blessings that God has given us. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, a familiar scripture, one that is often quoted in different venues and different messages. Paul said here, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. When we talk about the positive, good things in our life, those are a couple of scriptures that come to mind. Psalm 118, verse 24, and Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You may have others. Maybe you have a list of them, or maybe we could make a list of them. The things that help us to focus on the good things in our life. In our life now, and in our life in the future. Life in the future, we have many, many wonderful things, don't we? Wonderful blessings, wonderful hope that we have for the future. Many wonderful blessings and things that we can look forward to. So, good things in our life. A couple of scriptures there that we looked at, and again, you may have others specific to this weekend and our blessings. Let's consider a couple of things. Genesis chapter 12. We'll look at and read through a couple of things regarding this weekend, this 4th of July, Independence Day weekend. And certainly there are plenty of things negatively that we can reflect on and could reflect on. But I want us to think about Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3 for a moment. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 through 3. Verse 1 says, "The Lord said to Abram," and we again know that his name was eventually changed to Abraham, says, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless you, bless those who bless you. I will curse those, him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth, and in you rather, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, that's a wonderful blessing, and you and I, as we know, I'm going to read a couple of things in regard to that and to this weekend. I pulled this off of the off of our website, cogwa.org, actually. And the promises of Abraham. The promises of Abraham. You and I are recipients of that promise, of those promises. And we have been wonderfully blessed because of it. Wonderfully blessed. And again, you know, we have issues in our lives and difficulties. Pardon me, I don't want to minimize those things. They're real. But I want us to think about and reflect also on the positive things, the blessings that God has given us, the good things in our life. Promises of Abraham, our summary statement reads as follows. God's fulfillment of his promises to Abraham, a man called the father of the faithful, represents God's enduring faithfulness and provides important keys to understanding biblical prophecy. As promised, God multiplied Abraham's descendants so that Abraham literally became the father of many nations. God materially prospered his descendants, Isaac, Jacob, also called Israel, and Jacob's 12 sons, who were the progenitors of the 12 tribes of Israel, of ancient Israel. Descendants of these peoples continue to be prominent nations today. We know that, and we've read and been taught that many times over the years, particularly the descendants of Ephraim and Manasseh, because they inherited the physical blessings of Abraham. So we've inherited those physical blessings, and they're numerous and they're many. And we need to recognize those, and we need to praise God for the mighty acts, for the excellencies that he has given us. Now, that's not part of what's written here. In addition to the physical blessings promised Abraham, another promise was made by God to his patriarch, a promise of salvation through his seed, Jesus Christ, which all people, regardless of their physical lineage, may receive. All who respond to God's calling belong to Christ and are considered Abraham's seed. Understanding these promises made to Abraham provides a more accurate understanding of the world today and the messages of the prophets. So we have that promise to Abraham that we are recipients of those blessings. Let's count them, and those good things, let's count them, let's recognize them, and especially as, again, this weekend, I pulled some historical information on the history of Independence Day, which is this coming Monday. When the initial battles in the Revolutionary War broke out in April 1775, few colonists desired complete independence from Great Britain, and those who did were considered radical. By the middle of the following year, however, many more colonists had come to favor independence thanks to growing hostility against Britain and the spread of revolutionary sentiments, such as those expressed in the best-selling pamphlet Common Sense, published by Thomas Paine in early 1776. On June 7th, when the Continental Congress met at the Pennsylvania State House, later Independence Hall in Philadelphia, the Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee introduced a motion calling for the colony's independence. Amid heated debate, Congress postponed the vote on Lee's resolution but appointed a five-man committee, including Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, Thomas Adams of Massachusetts, Roger Sherman of Connecticut, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, and Robert R. Livingston of New York, to draft a formal statement justifying the break with Great Britain. On July 2nd, the Continental Congress voted in favor of Lee's resolution for independence in a near unanimous vote. A New York delegation abstained, but later voted affirmatively. On that day, John Adams wrote to his wife, Abigail, that July 2nd will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the Great Anniversary Festival, and that the celebration should include pomp and parade, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. On July 4th, the Continental Congress formally adopted the Declaration of Independence, which had been written largely by Jefferson. Though the vote for actual independence took place on July 2nd, the 4th became the day that was celebrated as the birth of American independence. And then a little further on the 4th of July, also known as Independence Day or July 4th, has been a federal holiday in the United States since 1941. But the tradition of Independence Day celebrations goes back to the 18th century and the American Revolution. On July 2nd, 1776, as we just read, the Continental Congress voted in favor of independence, and 2 days later, delegates from 13 colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence, a historic document drafted by Thomas Jefferson. From 1776 to the present day, July 4th has been celebrated as the birth of American independence, with festivities ranging from fireworks, parades, and concerts to more casual family gatherings and barbecues. And of course, as we know, the 4th of July, or Independence Day this year, is this coming Monday. So God has blessed us greatly. I read those things just to give us a little bit of history. I know that most of us are, again, very well aware of those things, but we need to be. We need to be aware of Genesis chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. We need to be aware and consider the blessings of Abraham that we have, that is part of what we have. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We need to remember those things and reflect on those things in our lives. And remember what wonderful blessings, and think about and reflect on, because so often we just reflect on the news and on the negative things that go on in our lives and in our country and in our world, in our communities. But we need to always recognize, as we heard in the sermonette, there's good in every day. And we need to recognize and give God thanks for those things. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7. Deuteronomy, I read this often, and I've probably read it several times in messages over the years. But it's an important message for us to reflect on. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7. We'll read verses 7 through 14. You can read on and read more of this, but in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." Into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. God has brought us, really, and blessed us in a good land, and a land that has all of these things as well, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Sometime, if you ever have a chance to do this, I know that in my business I used to travel some in the Midwest. It was always amazing to me how blessed this nation is, how, you know, there are cornfields and wheat fields and just tremendous blessings from basically here in western PA all the way to the Colorado border and north to Canada and south to the Gulf of Mexico, that feeds much of the world or provides so much for us, so many blessings for us. Now there are different times when there are droughts and things that can be and cause some issues as well, but we have so much as a nation. Now we've squandered a lot of that, unfortunately, and taken it for granted, but as God said here, says a land in which, verse 9, you will eat bread without scarcity. And I dare say that all of us have plenty, don't we? None of us probably went without breakfast this morning unless it was by choice. A land with bread without scarcity in which you will lack nothing. We don't lack much at this point still. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. But verse 10 gives us a warning. And I'm afraid sometimes we as a nation, and I would remind us as God's people, as brethren, to be careful of this. Because verse 10 says, when you've eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. We're to recognize the blessings that God has given us. We're to recognize those things and consider them. Consider the not just the bad things that are happening, which we can see, but the good things that God has given us. Beware, verse 11, that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Sometimes when we're full and we have things, that can be easy to do. That can be easy to do. Hold your place here. I'm going to have us turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think it is. Maybe it's chapter 6. I'm going to have to find it myself. Chapter 6 and verse 17. Chapter 6 and verse 17. Just something for us to think about in this regard. Again, I'm going to come back to Deuteronomy chapter 8 to finish the thought there. But in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Wealth, richness is, you know, is a relative thing. All of us, in many ways, are rich. Maybe not monetarily, but as we'll talk about in a little bit, we have each other. And we have a lot of blessings, as we have been reading through here, that God has given us. So Paul said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. We don't trust in those things, we know that, in the physical things that we have, but we trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So these blessings that we have, we'll go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, but these blessings that we have, we know, come from God, don't they? They come from God. God is the one who has blessed us with these wonderful blessings. He's the one that has blessed us. So if we pick it back up in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we'll read verse 11 again and then read on through verse 14. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Don't forget those blessings that he gives us. Reflect on them. Think about them. By not keeping his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So God has brought us here, and we need to always recognize and give thanks to him. And part of that is to recognize the blessings that we have, to recognize what we have been given. So let's reflect on a couple of those things that God has given to us. So we'll go and I have a list of some things, but I'd encourage us to make our own list. As we go through this Independence Day weekend, as we celebrate the birth of this nation, Independence Day, this nation that we are fortunate enough to live in, that we have so many blessings from, that we have bread to eat without scarcity at this point. We have bread to eat without scarcity. Now again, we might complain that it costs more, but nonetheless, we have bread to eat without scarcity. As we reflect on those things, make a list. I have several things that I'll discuss and talk about in the remainder of the message today. But I have seven things. I probably won't get through all of them, so I'll probably skip a few of them. But let's reflect on our blessings this weekend. Let's reflect on the good and positive things in our lives this weekend. And, you know, continue to do that. Continue to think about, as we think about these things and as I talk about these things a little bit, we have great hope for the future. We have great hope for the future. And let's never forget that either, to recognize the hope that we have for the future. So number one I have is the opportunity, reflect on the positive and good things in our lives. It's the opportunity to know God and to have a relationship with Him. That's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? The opportunity to know God and to have a relationship with Him. That's as we read in 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. It's a wonderful blessing for us, isn't it? We need to be grateful, and we need to recognize the opportunity that we have to understand His truth. What a blessing that is for us. What a blessing that is for us. Jeremiah chapter 9. Again, I'll just reflect on a few things that are on my list, but it's not all, it's not an inclusive list by any means. It's just a few things that would be on my list. Jeremiah chapter 9. And verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." So we don't glory in our wisdom. "Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor the rich man glory in his riches." We read about that a little bit in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. "But let him who glories, glory in this." And again, this is a scripture that we've read numerous times before. So if we're to glory, let's glory in this. Let's understand this. Let's appreciate the importance of this. "Let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me." What a blessing that is, brethren, for us to understand and know God. That I am the Lord, exercising Let's look at these qualities here. Exercising loving kindness. Exercising loving kindness. Psalm 51 comes to mind. Judgment or justice, as the margin says. Justice or judgment. Exercising justice and righteousness in the earth. It's a blessing for us, isn't it? For in these I delight, says the Lord. For in these I delight, says the Lord. So we have the wonderful blessing, brethren, of being able to know God and to have a relationship with Him. What a blessing that is. So what a good positive thing that is in our life. Let's reflect on that as we go through this weekend and ahead in our lives. Let's make sure that we reflect on what a blessing, what an opportunity, how positive, how good it is for us to have a relationship. Another thing I have, point number two that I have, that the things that we reflect on or that are positive, is our family. Our family. Our physical families. That we have physical families that watch over and take care of us. You know, you can, as they say, pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And, you know, I know that we all, most of us anyway, have wonderful families. You know, and at the end of our physical life, you know, whenever we read an obituary or someone dies, I don't remember or recall ever having read that it was a friend or a stranger, but it's almost always friends and family, or his family rather, was by his or her side. Our friends and our family are by our side, aren't they? And so we have a wonderful blessing to be able to have family, you know, to be able to have spouses, my wife, to be grateful for that and the things that she does in the family. And, you know, or, you know, your husband, the things that he does, or the children, the things that they do in the family. We need to reflect on those things and be grateful to God for the positive and good things that He provides for us in our life, don't we? We need to think about and reflect on those things and be encouraged by that. And number three that I have noted is you, the brethren, the brethren. And we have our spiritual family. Some people don't have, you know, a lot of physical family in their life. Maybe none. But we're a family, aren't we? We're a family. And so we have each other. So we need to be grateful for that and grateful and recognize the good in that. Recognize the positive, the good in the fact that we have brethren, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is for us, isn't it? So I try to recognize that and think about that, I have brothers and sisters all around me, all around me. Hebrews chapter 10, a couple of scriptures we'll look at in this regard, and then we'll add a little bit to our Romans chapter 12 list. Hebrews chapter 10, begin reading in verse 21. Hebrews 10 and we again begin reading in verse 21, where it says, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." So we have a tremendous hope, and that's also something very positive and very good in our life. We have a tremendous hope, again, with confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. God will bring these things to pass. Maybe not as quickly as we'd like or when we think as we go through things, but he is faithful. Those things that he has promised, he will bring to pass. And let us consider one another. Consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, encouraging. That word exhorting, there, as we've mentioned before, you know, is more of a, and the Greek has more of an encouraging intent. That we encourage each other, that we lift each other up, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So much more as you see the day approaching. So, brethren, we get together and we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and we consider one another, don't we? We consider one another. We assemble together. Our life, your life, has meaning to others. Consider that statement. Your life, our life, has meaning to others. And so we have a couple of sisters who need our prayers. We have a brother who needs our prayers. And guess what? We're prayerfully involved in their life, aren't we? And we pray for them. And we pray for each other. And we do that gladly for all of us. And it's such a comforting thing. Romans chapter 12. Told you we would look at a couple of things here back in Romans, and we'll go over a couple more points here in Romans chapter 12. In verse 13, Romans 12 verse 13 says, "Distributing to the needs of the saints." That's an important responsibility that we have, is to look out for the needs of each other. Now, that's a positive, that's a very good and positive thing that we need to thank God for, because we need to thank God that he has, that we have brothers and sisters that look out for us. I know that when I've been sick, at times I've gotten the cards and the phone calls, and I know people are praying and thinking about my situation. That's a wonderful blessing. That's a wonderful, that's a good and positive thing that we have each other in that way. So in our list of things here in Romans chapter 12, that would be letter X. Letter X would be distributing to the needs of the saints, that we look out for and take care of each other. And that's a very positive and good thing. And then the second thing here in verse 13 of chapter 12 is given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. So many of us are able to do that, to have people in our home. Some of us aren't. And that's okay as well. But there are other ways and other things that we can do to be hospitable. Other ways to be hospitable, as we've talked about in the past. Maybe inviting someone to go to lunch somewhere, or variety of ways that we can think of and talk about being hospitable. But I know that Beth and I are invited three times this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and on the 4th of July. And the 4th of July one is a family reunion, but it's an invitation and it's at somebody's home. But we're invited to people's homes. And that's what Paul intended here, I'm sure, given to hospitality, that we have people in our homes and that we gather as brothers and sisters and as brethren. And we need to be grateful for that and grateful to God for that. So that would be letter Y, given to hospitality. And that's something that Paul here in verse 13 encouraged us, given to hospitality. The margin there says pursuing, that we pursue hospitality, that we're hospitable. And again, there are many ways we can do that without having people in our homes. There are many ways that we can be hospitable and encourage. We can do that as a congregation here when visitors arrive. We've got some visitors, a couple visitors today. When visitors arrive, to be hospitable, to invite them in, to encourage them. So we can do that in that way. So it's such a positive thing, and it's a positive and good thing when we visit somewhere else and visit other congregations, and we're invited in, and we are made to feel a part of things. So certainly we can be grateful for each other, and we can be, and that is a positive and good thing. A couple other things I have that I'll just mention very quickly is friends. Friends, we are friends, aren't we? So we, in that way, we're brethren, but we're friends also. But we have friends that are not necessarily in the church, but we can be grateful for them. And experiences in life is something that's a good and positive thing. I'm not going to go into depth on that for lack of time. The gifts of God's Holy Spirit is a very positive and good thing in our life that we can recognize and give God thanks for. And again, you may have a much more extensive list. And I'd encourage us all to sit and reflect on these things as we go through this weekend. Another thing that I have that I'll spend just a little bit of time on that is a good and positive thing in our life is God's encouragement and comfort. God's encouragement and comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." The God of all comfort. It's another one of those things that we can praise Him for. That we can give, that's one of the excellent things, or the excellencies that we talked about. That we can praise Him for, is His comfort. Verse 4 says, "Who comforts us in all of our tribulation." Now that's a promise. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. That, this gets back to the brethren point, we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Again, that involves gifts of God's Holy Spirit, that we can comfort others with the comfort which we ourselves have been comforted with. So we can be grateful for, and we can certainly have and look in a positive way, in a good way, on God's comfort. So I have some sub-points that I'll give you with this. Sub-points being A, B, and C. God will never leave you or forsake you. God will never leave you or forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I'll just give you that as a reference. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, of course, that's quoting from Deuteronomy 31, I think, and Joshua chapter 1, and the situation with after Moses' death, when Joshua took over as a leader of Israel at that time, and of the Israelites. And God promised Joshua that I will never leave you or forsake you, and he makes that promise to you and I. And then point or subpoint B, God is always looking out for your best interest. God is always looking out for your best interest. And the reference there I have is Genesis chapter 45, verse 4 through 8, and the story of Joseph. And how Joseph said to his brothers, don't worry, this was all part of God's plan. And God is always looking out for our best interest. And then point C, under subpoint C, under God is a God of encouragement and comfort, God always provides for us. He will always take care of us. Scripture reference I have there is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27 through 34. And where it talks certainly there that we seek first his kingdom, but it also talks about the fact that he takes care of the birds of the field and he'll take care of us. So we have many, many things in our life that are good and that are positive, aren't they? You know, you can fill in your own list, but remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, proclaim the praises, the mighty acts, the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Proclaim that and focus on that and think on that. As we go through this weekend, when we have trial in our life and we have a lot of negative things sometimes to reflect on, let's reflect on the blessings. Let's reflect on the positive, the good things in our life. Let's turn finally to Psalm chapter 111. Psalm 111. And begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 111. Begin again reading in verse 1. Let's reflect on these things, brethren, as we go through this weekend. As we go through and celebrate the birth of this nation that God has so blessed. And we have so much. Bread without scarcity. Rivers of water. Valleys and just many, many things that God has blessed us with. Let's reflect on those things. Let's think about the good and the positive. Psalm 111 and verse 1 says, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent, verse 9, redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.